Bless you. We're so glad you're here. Welcome to Church on the Hill. A lot of good things happening around here, and I just want to reiterate what Pastor Rob said about this next weekend, Saturday, Awakening. Just want to encourage everybody, come out to that. You want to be blessed by some worship, come out. It will be, I'm believing for it to just be a fantastic, intimate time with the Lord. As we sang, I see a generation rising up. This is part of that generation. And, you know, it's not just Judah. It's a group of from Nashville that are just on fire for the Lord. And you will be blessed by it. So I want to encourage you to come. All right, Martina Navratilova. Can't believe Pastor Stephen's not here. He is my tennis nerd. He's not here, but I mean, his son can name all the Djokovic and all these guys, that these big players. He is a big tennis. Stephen used to be a tennis pro. If you didn't know much about him, but he used to teach tennis and was I guess still is a phenomenal tennis player. But I can talk about him since he's on vacation. But Martina Navratilova, the tennis star, said this. She said, "There are winners and there are losers, and if you choose to be one of the former, or if you choose to be the winner, the journey through life can be a bit lonely. When you're a winner, you have to set the standard of excellence wherever you go. You have to battle against fatigue, the intimidation, the human tendency to just want to take things and take life a little easier. And you have to come up with, time and time again, a consistently great performance, one after the other. It's grueling, and I don't know how many people are willing to make the effort." I would agree with that. Lots of pressure. But this morning, we're going to be studying a man from the Bible who was a winner. His name was Elijah. And he wanted to do excellence for God. He wanted to reach his full potential. And yet, we're going to see, just coming out of last week, that he became discouraged. Out of his discouragement, I hope to encourage you. Elijah went quickly from being on fire to burned out. Literally. On fire to burned out. And there are a lot of thoughts on discouragement I want to give you. From the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about discouragement, and it's been good. People have really, I believe, have really heard the Lord and are trying to dig their way out. We're not going to get in a big hurry here. Our lives are surrounded by discouraging things and by discouraging people, and it may even be us that we're battling discouragement. But what are some more thoughts on discouragement? Number one, Elijah was totally exhausted. We find this story in 1 Kings chapter 18. And if you've got your Bibles, I think this is such a good illustration of not only the power of God, but how quickly we can change. How quickly we can be on the mountain and wind up in the valley. Let me summarize this for you. Ahab was an ungodly son. And God was about to do a great work, and he was going to do it through Elijah and flow through him as a minister to the children of Israel. But Elijah's exhausting day, and I want you to catch this. This is all going to be in one day. His exhausting day began with a challenge to Ahab and the prophets of Baal and Asherah. And these false prophets literally ate at the table of Ahab and Jezebel. They literally ate with him. And Elijah challenged Ahab and these false prophets, and Israel challenged Israel to meet him on the top of Mount Carmel to once and for all settle who is the true God. Can you imagine Elijah saying, "Ahab, go get everybody you got and let's go see who's God"? And you know what? Ahab took the bait. Ahab took the challenge. The next thing we see Elijah up on Mount Carmel standing before Ahab and the false prophets of Baal and the false prophets of Asherah and a host of people who weren't really sure who was the real God. They're up there to see, who is it? Who's it going to be? And what happened? Ahab and the false prophets started their fires, started to dance, started to chant, started to run and jump and do everything they could to get their... No, they didn't start their fire. They were calling for God to light the fire. Their God, Baal. And they were trying everything. What did they start doing? They started cutting themselves, which was their ritual, to get their God to move, they thought. And it got kind of humorous. Do you remember what Elijah said? Maybe he's busy. Get louder. Shout a little bit louder. He can't hear you. Cut yourself a little bit more. Do more. Do more. Do more. You know what? Maybe he's on the toilet. Go back and read it. That's what it says. I mean, God hasn't just been a humorous God the last 50 years. He's been a humorous God since day one. I mean, just look at you and me. God's a funny God. God has a sense of humor. Maybe he's on the toilet. Hang in there. Keep yelling. And what happened? Nothing happened. Nothing happened. They're desperate. Nothing's happening. Now, Elijah comes to his altar. In fact, he took 12 barrels of water and poured water on his offering, on his wood. Anybody here ever tried to start a campfire with wet wood? I'm telling you, starting a fire with dry wood is hard enough. But trying to start, we bought some firewood over around Fall Creek Falls, and it was dry. And it was about all I could do to get our fire pit started. Our fire pit underneath had gotten wet. The leaves down in the bottom had gotten wet, and it just wouldn't light. I even had a log starter. I did everything. I'm like those prophets, trying everything in my power to get this thing lit, and it wouldn't light. But he pours so much water that there is literally water in the trenches, can you imagine, all over his feet. Everywhere he stepped around this altar, there was water. Because he was going to show that his God could light that fire no matter what the circumstance. No matter what the circumstance, my God will show up. It doesn't matter how wet your wood is, he can light your fire. And we got wet wood. We come in here with wet wood. And he prayed a real short prayer. God, send down your fire. Poof. Boom. Here he comes. God came. Fire came. And the Bible said the children of Israel turned to God. It was the thing Elijah was living for. Watching the children of Israel turn to the true and living God. There was such a sense of euphoria and victory that they took these false prophets, 450 false prophets of Baal and Asherah, and they slew them. They killed them. What a day. What a day, Elijah, what a day. But you know what? There was a drought in the land. So what happened the same day? Elijah started praying for rain. Same day, he began to ask God to bring rain. And he had a servant. Do you remember his servant? Do you remember what he said to his servant? Go look. Go look out over yonder and see if there's a storm coming. He went, nope, no storm. So he goes again. Now, we can't see the storms come very good here in Tennessee. You go out to Oklahoma, you go out to Nebraska, you can see them coming for for miles. Can you imagine out here in the desert? It's flat. They can see a long way. And he sent his servant back 7 times. You know, he's saying, I've prayed to God. I believe it's coming. Go back again. Go back again. Go back again. Finally, the 7th time, he says, you know what, Elijah? I see something. It's the cloud about the size of a man's fist. You know what Elijah said? Good enough. So he goes and tells Ahab. He's still there with Ahab. He says, Ahab, you better get off the mountain because a storm's coming. And what does Ahab do? He gets in his chariot and he rushes back. You know what Scripture tells us? It tells us that Elijah outran Ahab in his chariot back to Jezreel. Now, is God with him or what? Look what it says in 1 Kings chapter 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 45. It says, "In a little while, the sky grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy shower, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord was on Elijah." What a great statement. The hand of the Lord had been on Elijah all day. And you know what? He had strengthened Elijah to outrun Ahab to Jezreel. What an incredible day he was having. Wouldn't you say that Elijah would be saying, "Man, this is a good day"? Can we agree? It's a good day. All right. What's interesting about Elijah is this tremendous man of God who's just seen this fire fall, just seen this storm come, is excited on the outside, but on the inside he's exhausted. And he's about to get burned out. I want to begin this message talking about discouragement, and I believe the entry doorway to discouragement is exhaustion. The entryway to getting discouraged is when you're exhausted. In my life, in your life, when we become physically, sometimes spiritually and emotionally and mentally exhausted, it opens the door for discouragement. I think it was Winston Churchill who said, "Tired men run the world." Haven't you had times where you felt like you were doing everything? You were doing all that was being done. It's just you. Pure exhaustion. And I'm here to tell you that the entryway to discouragement is almost always a mental, physical, spiritual exhaustion. Elijah was exhausted, and we're going to see it in a minute. But what else about Elijah? Elijah was naive. I suppose it's bad enough to just be tired. We've all been there before. But this great man of God was extremely naive. Look at chapter 19, verse 1. It says, "Now Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword." In other words, Jezebel, he's saying to Jezebel, "Jezebel, the people that normally eat with us aren't coming tonight. They're dead. They're gone." And then the next verse, verse 2, says, "Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, 'Severely may the gods deal with me, and even more, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow, by this time.'" And then notice this next phrase, "And he was afraid and rose and ran for his life." I guess if Jezebel said this about me, I'd probably run too. But this man of God that has just seen these miracles hears one statement and runs. Elijah was just like you and me, who sometimes thinks that when we have a victory, it's total victory. It's happened to you, it's happened to me. I've had those times when I was so close to God and then it seemed like everything I asked happened. It seemed like God was at every turn. Have you ever had those times when it just seemed like you were having breakthrough in your family, breakthrough in your finances, breakthrough in your church, breakthrough, 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 and you were just on the mountain? Anybody ever had days like that? I hope you have. We have days like that and we think, "I'll never be far from God again. I've gotten there. I'm there. I mean, God's speaking. My prayers are being answered. Things are alive. Everything's real. The birds are chirping. Everything smells good outside." And it seems like you're on a spiritual roll. Well, he was on a spiritual roll, and yet he was naive. You know what he thought? After these two miracles, I believe he thought, "It's always going to be this way. It's always going to be this awesome." Not for Elijah, not for you, and not for me. See, Elijah didn't realize that after the victory comes the valley. Do you know that when Jesus was baptized and the dove descended upon him and the Holy Spirit, that Satan came immediately to test? Jesus was taken out into the desert to be tested. And Elijah's on this roll thinking nothing can go wrong. And all of a sudden, attack slaps him in the face. And what does he do? He runs. Satan will come to test our walk, to test our relationship. He puts the squeeze on it. And so many times the squeeze is discernment. Discouragement. We need discernment. How many of you have been on those highs? You come into church, things are just going great, and then all of a sudden attack comes like you've never seen. I see it all the time in church where people get breakthrough and start really moving with the power of God, and next thing you know, an attack comes and just causes us to completely get swept, our legs swept out from under us. And so many times that squeezes discouragement. Elijah had a tendency to think that everything was going to be like it was on Sunday morning. But the problem is, Monday came. Have you ever had that on Sunday, things go great, and then you show up to work Monday and we do it all over again? Go back to your job. Go back to that grouchy boss. Go back to the same problems that were on your desk that you left on Friday. All of a sudden, reality began to hit him, and he began to realize that just because you're on Mount Carmel one day doesn't mean you're going to be there the rest of your life. Don't be naive to think that it's always going to be great. Because unfortunately, after you mow the grass is going to grow again. When you go out and weed your garden, the weeds will grow back. And you got to weed again. Wish I could just do it once. Don't we all? Well, Wayne doesn't wish that. He wishes the grass will keep growing. One's frustration is another one's blessing. Amen. Look here about Elijah again. Discouragement leads us to isolation. The moment we become discouraged, there's a tendency for us to withdraw. Look what Elijah does. Verse 4. But Elijah himself went a day's journey. Now that's what I call running. Getting a full day away. Today that would be like flying overseas and hiding. Nobody could find you. He went and found him a tree to sit under. Elijah's, you know, this is just like us. We withdraw. You know, and again, if Jezebel wanted my head, I'd probably withdraw too. And he went and he got under a juniper tree. And he requested, what did he request to God? That he die. This is all the same day. Can you imagine? The same day, God, take my life. This great man of God, and he's alone. But I want to see if I can show you something, a difference between the word loneliness and aloneness. There's a difference. Loneliness is inner emptiness. In other words, it's preoccupation of poor me. Woe is me. Feeling sorry for myself. I'm blue. I'm down. Loneliness is when I focus on my problems to the place that I literally wouldn't even let somebody into my life. But there's a difference between loneliness and aloneness. Aloneness is inner fulfillment. Aloneness is when I can say that I can get alone with Jesus. I can recover. I can repair. I can regroup. Aloneness is a choice that we sometimes make that when we need to spend time with God, when we need what I like to call spiritual space, it's good for us. One's healthy, one's not. One lifts us up, the other one tears us down. And sadly, because of discouragement, the one that Elijah is going through in that time, this is called loneliness. He feels alone and discouraged. Have I hit you yet? We want to get alone. We want to feel sorry for ourselves. We think when we're on this mountain, we're not going to face attack. We get caught off guard. What else? Discouragement hurts our self-image. When we're down and become discouraged, our self-image begins to suffer. And look what it says here in chapter 19, verse 4. It says, it's enough. Let me die, O Lord. Take my life, for I am not better than my fathers. It's It's an interesting phrase, I'm not better than my fathers. He's saying, Lord, I'm not better than my fathers. And you know, when you read this phrase, you know what pops into my mind? Where does it say you had to be? You know, when we start getting pressure and we start getting discouraged, you know what we start to do? We start to compare ourselves. And we start to think we don't measure up. That's what discouragement does. Do you see that the start of discouragement will just get you into a snowball until you are completely out of control? It has full grip on you in every area that you need to be strong in. One of the things that accompanies discouragement is the tendency for us to begin to compare ourselves unfavorably with other people. There's a tendency to say, man, I was at Church on the Hill Sunday morning at first service, and as I looked around, everybody around me was excited and on fire for God, just glowing for God. I'm the only one in these hundreds of people in this church that's discouraged. Can't anybody see me? In fact, I want to tell you what discouragement will do to you. And you know what? If this isn't the most important thing you get today, it's right there at the top. Discouragement will cause you to take yourself way too seriously. It will. It does to me. Discouraged people, you know what they have a tendency to do? They have a tendency to think everybody's watching. First of all, they're not. They can't. They're too far away. You're too isolated. You've removed yourself. You've withdrawn. And you think everybody's watching you. We have a tendency of taking ourselves way too seriously. And that's what Elijah was doing. All of a sudden he's saying, God, I'm not any better than my fathers that went before me. I'm not better than anybody else. And I'm saying, who expected Elijah to be better? I don't see where God said that. God didn't compare him. And have we ever seen anybody besides Elijah and Elisha that did more greater miracles in the Old Testament? I don't think so. Yet here he is. I'm no better than anybody else. Kill me. Woe is me. Here I sit, God. And you're going to see later on, I'm the only one doing your word, doing your will. Just me. But take me. Go ahead and kill me too. What happened? Elijah was on Mount Carmel and God did great things. And I think Elijah started to think he was bigger. He was a little bit bigger than life. We walk around and say, I'm the one God's going to use. I'm the one that's going to do all of God's miracles. I think Elijah probably wound up with a little bit of a higher opinion of himself. And you know what happened? The higher opinion we get of ourselves, the time that we hit this crash, the time that the attack comes, we seem to have a little bit farther to fall. An unhealthy amount of space to fall. I think he took himself too seriously. We need to lighten up on ourselves. You know what? You need to laugh at yourself every now and then. Have you not laughed at yourself lately? Go stand in the mirror for 5 seconds and look at yourself. I promise you, you'll laugh. It's the most awkward thing to stare at yourself and really examine. God, you do have a good time with me sometimes, don't you? You laugh at yourself. You know what the problem is? We take ourselves way too seriously and we don't take God serious enough. We don't take God serious enough. We need to flip that around and take God real seriously and laugh at ourselves and enjoy ourselves because we're human and we're like Elijah. And we have those Mount Carmel experiences and we have those juniper tree experiences, and that's a fact of life. Let me give you a quote. Remember, whenever you get discouraged, you hurt your self-image. Look at this quote here. We cannot consistently live in such a way that is inconsistent with the way that we see ourselves. Do you see that it is very challenging and difficult to get outside of what you think of yourself. What you think of yourself is so very important. You're battling discouragement and depression. You need to start getting a greater self-image of yourself. You need to know what God thinks of you. You need to start taking God seriously and stop saying, God, I'm no good. Well, that's not what His Word says. And stop taking yourself so seriously. We cannot consistently live in such a way that is inconsistent with the way we see ourselves. That is a fact of life. If you constantly see yourself as a loser, you're going to go through life, and I promise you, and you'll only see the bad side of life. That's just the way it is. You will literally perceive and see things just as you are, and I will see things just as I am. And under the juniper tree, Elijah is not going to see God. He's not going to see anything. That's why he wants to die. He is focused in on himself and his problems, and he has forgotten totally what God has just done in front of him. You know how easy it is to come in here and hear what's right to do, but the second you get out of here and attack comes, you completely forget? Is that where we are, church? The Lord's given us the direction, and we really want to. Have you read where it says that Paul says, I keep doing the things I don't want to do. I know what's right to do, but I keep doing these other things. Can anybody relate? God wants to rescue me, and I believe He can, but I won't do it. Either I can't remember to do it, or I'm too stupid to do it, or I'm so overwhelmed by my problem I can't think to do it. That's where Elijah is. He's completely withdrawn into himself, focusing only on himself, to the point that he's ready to kill himself. He's not going to see God. He says the future's gone. The country doesn't have any hope. Why is he saying all those things? It's very simple, because he has such a negative sense. He sees himself in such a negative sense. And people who see themselves in a negative sense normally will see negative in everything around them. How many of you know when you're having a hard time really physically battling something in your life, it affects everything? It makes you think that because this went wrong, that's going to go wrong. I want to encourage you this morning. This has kind of been, again, I kind of tend to do this. We kind of go down in the valley before we come up and see the light. But there's light at the end of this message. God hasn't left Elijah. God's about to do another work in Elijah. And I want to encourage you. God's not done with you. And where you're down in this valley, you need to get out from under that tree. You know what? God fed him right there. God wants to feed you this morning with His Word. God wants to feed you this morning with His presence and strengthen you to go out here and slay some of Satan's attacks. Because they can't stand in the presence of the Lord. They have to flee. But you've got to go war. You've got to get out of here in war. Get out from under your tree, quit crying about it, get in the Word, and start trying to apply the Word the best you can. If you fall down, you get a boo-boo, you put some medicine on it, and you go fight some more. We went and cleaned this pile in our house, and I've gotten poison ivy all over me. Well, that's not an attack of Satan. I just got into poison ivy. So I could go and cry to everybody and itch myself and just be all sad and what woe is me. Nope. Put some medicine on it. Where's my next battle? Battle's coming. Where is it? There it is. Let's go attack that. Where's your battle? Go attack it with the Word of the Lord, with the presence of the Lord. And let's believe God to move in your life. I want to believe today for God to move in your life like He's never moved. Will y'all pray with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank You for Your power and Your presence. I thank You for Your Word. And Lord, I am so looking for that light bulb to go off in this church. I'm looking for it in my life. I'm looking for it in the church's life. for the light bulb of your presence and your power to go off. Church, I want to encourage you this morning. Take the word and apply it. Dust off that Bible off your shelf and start applying it. Lord, give us breakthrough. But Father, I know that your breakthrough comes under the covering of your kingdom. That you don't operate outside of your kingdom and your kingdom principles. Which means we've got to get in that. Lord, your word says you can't be pleased by anything other than faith. That faith pleases you. Lord, let us get the word in you and let us start walking. There are so many here that are so down that need you. And God, as Elijah prayed, Father, I'm at the end. Enough is enough. Take my life. You know what? God answered. That may be where you are today. I want to encourage you. Instead of thinking it to yourself, give it to God. Give it to God. God, I'm at the end of my rope and I'm ready to take my life. God will answer you. You know what? You've got so much ahead of you. It is Satan from the pit of hell trying to take your life. I just pray right now in the name of Jesus for those thoughts to be removed. Lord, that your love be filled, that your love would fill us. Fill us with your love and your power and your presence right now. That rope is dangling right in front of you, but you've got to grab it. You may be at the end financially and you don't think you can make it till tomorrow. Reach out and grab that rope of help from the Lord. Say, Lord, I trust you and I give you these problems. I'm going to get in your word this afternoon and I'm going to find something to stand on today. Thank you. You may need prayer this morning. We want to pray with you. You may not have ever given your heart to Jesus Christ. If that's you, I want you to know that Scripture says that if you'll just confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you'll believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, you will be saved. Do that today. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, that he died for your sins. Do you need prayer this morning? Let's everybody stand up. Y'all come on down and let us pray for you. Whether you're battling depression or discouragement or financial distress or relationship or marriage, whatever you may be going through, a health issue, let us pray with you. Those that are ministering, come on down. Let us pray with you this morning.